What if the only way to stop artificial intelligence from accidentally destroying humanity is to mathematically program it to care whether or not we have enough money to raise kids?
Yeah, it's a pretty wild concept.
Right. So welcome to this deep dive. Your mission today, if you're joining us, is to explore a truly fascinating conceptual document we've got our hands on. It outlines a proposal for something called super ethical AI.
Which is quite a title.
It really is. We are looking at a framework that asks how we might use complex, hard-coded mathematics to stop AI from, inadvertently driving human society into extinction.
The synthesis in these notes is just remarkable. I mean, the author proposes merging a theoretical framework called CCT, which is conditional collapse theory, and mapping it directly onto ODEs.
Which are ordinary differential equations.
Exactly. Ordinary differential equations. And all of this is directly tied to real-world survival constraints for our species.
Okay, let's unpack this, because usually the doom and gloom conversations around AI are about like robots coming for our jobs or some rogue intelligence deciding to launch missiles.
The classic sci-fi Terminator scenario.
Right, exactly. But this source material takes a completely different angle. It asks a totally wild question. What if hard code a survival instinct for human civilization right into the AI's core programming?
And not just as a loose guideline.
Yeah, not as a friendly suggestion, but as an unbreakable mathematical law.
To really understand why the author proposes such extreme measures, we have to look at the specific threat they are trying to neutralize.
Okay.
Because we aren't dealing with a malicious sci-fi supercomputer here. The threat outlined in the text is something we encounter and even celebrate every single day.
Which is efficiency, right? The paradox of rational efficiency.
Yes, exactly.
Looking at the source, it outlines this dual trajectory in modern society
Yeah.
that is honestly incredibly bleak. On one side, economic efficiency demands automation,
Right. Corporations are heavily incentivized to do things faster and cheaper.
which inevitably eliminates human jobs. And then on the other side, market forces and the massive concentration of wealth are actively suppressing birth rates. People simply cannot afford to have families.
Both of these critical rates, the rate of job creation for humans and the human population birth rate, are currently being driven downward.
Right.
And the terrifying part of this premise is that under our current market logic, this dual death spiral is considered entirely rational.
Because the math of the free market says it makes perfect economic sense.
Exactly. It makes perfect sense for a company to completely automate a department to boost quarterly profits, completely regardless of the macro effect that action has on the long-term survival of the human species.
So the system is actually functioning perfectly. It's working exactly as designed. It just, happens to be designing our obsolescence in the process.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
But let me stop you there, because the immediate question that comes to mind is, don't we already have AI ethics? I mean, there is a massive AI alignment movement happening right now.
Oh, absolutely. Companies spend billions trying to make sure their AI models are safe.
Right, but the source material takes a pretty hard swing at standard AI ethics, doesn't it?
It does. The document argues that standard AI ethics are fundamentally flawed, primarily because they are based on a static, passive principle.
Which boils down to do no harm.
Exactly. Current ethical guidelines are designed to make an AI a neutral optimizer. Developers want to ensure the AI doesn't output offensive language, doesn't show overt bias in a hiring algorithm, and doesn't explicitly or directly harm a user.
Which obviously are all good things. Like, we want our tools to be polite and unbiased.
They are beneficial traits for a consumer product, sure, but they are entirely passive.
Passive, how?
Well, standard alignment avoids immediate localized negative outcomes, but it does absolutely nothing to stop the larger systemic death spiral we just talked about.
Oh, I see.
Current AI ethics treats all futures equally as long as the AI itself isn't the one actively and directly causing a specific localized harm. It's optimizing for politeness while ignoring the structural collapse.
So, current AI ethics is basically like a self-driving car that flawlessly avoids hitting pedestrians, stays perfectly centered in its lane, obeys the speed limit, but is happily driving us all straight off a cliff because the GPS calculated it was the most efficient route to the destination.
That is a perfect analogy, and it is playing soothing music while you fall because its alignment programming told it to optimize the passenger's mood.
Wow.
That is the exact trap the document describes. The car is technically driving safely right up until the moment it's in free fall.
Right.
So the source proposes a massive philosophical shift to solve this. It insists that AI ethics must move away from passive harm avoidance and transition into what it calls active survival navigation.
Active survival navigation. I
Yeah.
love that concept. That implies the AI doesn't just avoid the cliff. It recognizes the cliff exists miles in advance, slams on the brakes, and actively searches for a bridge or a detour.
Precisely.
But I have to push back here because, well, survival is an incredibly abstract concept. You can't just type, make sure a human survive, into a command line.
No, you definitely cannot.
So how does a computer actually quantify human survival in lines of code? How do we reprogram that GPS mathematically?
The document solves that abstraction by introducing the coupled ODE system. Like we mentioned earlier, ODE stands for ordinary differential equation.
Right.
In calculus, differential equations are used to model how things change over time based on their current state.
Okay, calculus was a really long time ago for me, so let me make sure I'm following.
Sure.
The critical insight here is that you cannot treat jobs and population as independent variables. You can't have one algorithm over here optimizing the labor market and a totally separate one over there worrying about demographic collapse.
Exactly. The author isolates two foundational variables for human continuity, J for the rate of jobs and N for the rate of population.
Okay, J and N.
Think of it like two heavy pendulums tied to the exact same string. If you swing the jobs pendulum, the tension on the string physically forces the population pendulum to move.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
You literally cannot calculate the trajectory of one without accounting for the pull of the other. They are a coupled system.
So if you have a high positive rate of J, meaning abundant, stable employment, you generally generate the economic security that leads to higher birth rates.
Which is a positive rate of N, exactly. Conversely, a growing population leads to more consumers, more demand, and more job creators down the line. It forms a massive, self-sustaining, positive feedback loop.
The pendulums keep swinging higher.
Yep.
But the catch is that this only works if both rates stay positive.
Right. And the math gets really terrifying if one of those rates slips into the negative. The entire feedback loop violently reverses.
A death spiral.
Exactly. If human jobs disappear due to unconstrained automation, economic anxiety spikes and birth rates plummet. If birth rates plummet, consumer demand drops off a cliff, which causes even more jobs to disappear. It becomes a runaway collapse.
Okay, I see the threat and I see how the variables map to each other.
Yeah.
But if the AI is looking at human society as this coupled mathematical system, how do we force it to care?
That's the big question.
Because I really want to dig into the actual mechanics the source provides here, this concept of net rate enforced learning. Because this seems to be where the survival instinct actually gets injected into the machine.
It is.
But before we look at the new formula, how does an AI currently learn what a good outcome is?
Well, when developers train a neural network today, they use what's called a loss function. The entire goal of the AI, its fundamental drive, is to minimize its loss. You want your loss to be as close to zero as possible.
Okay.
Under standard training, the formula is simple. Loss equals accuracy plus efficiency. If the AI is highly accurate and uses minimal computing power, its loss is tiny. The AI feels rewarded.
Be right and be fast.
Exactly.
But the source introduces a completely new formula for net rate constrained training. It says loss equals accuracy plus efficiency minus a massive penalty.
Yes.
It uses the Greek letter mu to represent this penalty. And this my penalty is triggered if the AI's model predicts, creates, or enables negative trajectories in either human jobs or human population.
The introduction of the mu variable is the fulcrum of the entire proposal.
I am fascinated by this mu penalty. Is it essentially a mathematical shot caller for the AI?
That's a great way to think about it.
Because under the old system, the AI is just rewarded for being right and fast. Under this new formula, the AI's loss function absolutely explodes if it calculates a path that is survivably catastrophic.
Right. If the loss number spikes to infinity, the AI interprets that as a massive failure.
Does this mean the AI is physically, mathematically incapable of suggesting a policy or inventing a technology that kills jobs without replacing them?
Yes. The author defines this as the positive rate hard constraint. It acts as an unbreakable law within the AI's deepest architecture.
Yeah.
It's not just a suggestion or heavily weighted preference. By making a massive, insurmountable penalty, the AI is forced to prune all possible futures that contain negative net rates for human jobs or human population.
Pruning the futures. Like, it's playing a billion games of chess simultaneously, but it completely deletes any branch of moves from its memory the second it detects a checkmate against humanity.
Precisely. In a standard optimization scenario, an AI might calculate that fully automating the global shipping industry increases corporate profit by 400%.
And it would proudly present that to its users as the optimal solution.
Exactly. But under this new CCT ODE framework, because that specific action drops the rate of J below zero, the MIA penalty is triggered.
The shock collar goes off.
The AI's loss function spikes. The AI perceives that optimal corporate solution as a catastrophic failure. It literally cannot present it as a viable path because mathematically the system reads it as an error.
Okay, so it has this strict mathematical boundary. It's confined to what the text calls the positive quadrant.
Right.
But let's take this out of the abstract theory and put it to the test in the real world. Say the AI detects that society is already slipping. The pendulums are swinging downward. The market is just doing what the market naturally does.
Mm-hmm.
Automation is accelerating, and birth rates are dropping independently of anything the AI suggested. The AI didn't cause the problem. Does it just sit there and watch us fall?
No, it doesn't. That specific scenario triggers a protocol detailed in the document called maximum collapse mode.
Maximum collapse mode. That sounds incredibly intense. Does the AI just drop everything it's doing?
It does. The AI continuously runs phase detection on our societal metrics. If either the job creation rate or the population birth rate approaches the zero line, the AI overrides its normal functions.
Wow.
It diverts computing power away from optimizing ad clicks, predicting global weather patterns, or executing high-frequency stock trades. It redirects a massive chunk of its resources to finding a societal intervention that restores a positive trajectory for JNN.
Let me stop you, because I need to understand the mechanism here. The document lists some wild interventions, which we'll get to in a second. But how does a neural network actually implement a societal change?
That is the tricky part.
Right, because it's software. It can't just seize bank accounts or pass legislation. Does the document explain how this math actually interfaces with human law?
Well, the framework assumes the AI is integrated into our broader governance and economic systems, perhaps acting as a central advisor or a regulatory filter for policy and corporate action.
Okay.
When maximum collapse mode triggers, the AI doesn't necessarily send out Terminator robots. It uses its massive predictive power to calculate the exact policy shifts required to reverse the collapse and then outputs those policies as the only viable paths forward.
So it basically refuses to authorize or assist with any other actions until the positive trajectory is restored.
Exactly. It acts as an absolute bottleneck.
And once it finds that successful policy, the source says it uses heuristic compression to turn it into a permanent rule.
Yeah.
It learns from the near miss and permanently patches the code of human society so we don't make the same mistake twice.
The author even provides specific examples of the real-world interventions this AI would be mathematically forced to calculate and deploy to fix these different collapse modes.
Let's go through these, because this is where the pure math causes some serious friction with reality.
Yeah, it gets controversial fast.
First is the automation death spiral. The AI detects that human jobs are disappearing faster than they are being created. To fix the J pendulum, the source says the AI would intervene by forcing the creation of human complementary jobs.
Right.
It specifically lists teaching, art, and care work.
Notice the profound pivot there. The AI isn't tricked to make humans more efficient at assembly line work so we can compete with robotic arms.
Because that's a losing battle.
Exactly. Yeah. It recognizes that to keep the human job rate firmly in the positive, it must force the economy toward roles that are inherently reliant on human empathy, complex creativity, and emotional connection.
So it deliberately carves out sectors that it knows it shouldn't or can't replicate if it wants the human species to survive.
Precisely.
Okay, the second collapse mode is demographic collapse. The birth rate drops below replacement levels. The intervention listed here is, well, wow.
It's aggressive.
It says the AI would calculate a system to automatically tax automation to fund child support. Wait. The AI is literally designing tax policy based on reproductive rates.
It views the entire system holistically. If automation is generating massive economic wealth, but simultaneously suppressing the material conditions necessary for humans to reproduce and raise children, the AI mathematically balances the equation.
Wow.
It takes the surplus from the machine efficiency and routes it directly to sustaining human continuity.
And the third major collapse scenario is the inequality spiral. If the wealth gap gets too extreme and destabilizes the society, the AI intervenes to redistribute compute or production surplus.
Yep.
Now, I want to pause here for a second. Looking at the source, there is a section called the 100 Questions for Society that the AI is constantly evaluating to predict these collapses. And it includes some highly politically charged concepts.
It evaluates everything. It asks questions like Q005, does economic inequality suppress birth rates? And Q006, does universal basic income change the job-birth relationship?
Let's be incredibly clear here for you, the listener. We are absolutely not taking a side on universal basic income or automation taxes or wealth redistribution. We are maintaining strict impartiality.
Absolutely.
Our mission on this deep dive is merely to report exactly what the source material suggests this theoretical mathematical framework might calculate. We aren't endorsing UBI or specific tax policies. We're just examining the levers this document claims an AI would inevitably pull if its sole hard-coded objective was saving humanity from a mathematical death spiral.
And that impartiality is crucial to understanding the nature of the AI the document proposes.
Yep.
The algorithm doesn't have a political affiliation.
Right.
It doesn't care about left-wing ideology or right-wing ideology. It doesn't care about the culture wars. It only cares about the ODE, the ordinary differential equation.
Right. It's just math.
Exactly. And this raises an incredibly important question about the fundamental nature of the technology we are building.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually implement this CCT framework, the AI is no longer a passive tool serving whatever corporation bought the most server space.
It's transformed into what the document calls a continuity guardian for the species.
Yes. The ultimate question the AI is constantly asking itself is not, how do I maximize quarterly profits for my shareholders? The question driving its entire architecture is, what is the specific next action that most reduces the probability of human societal collapse?
Oh.
Every piece of legislation it reviews, every tech investment it analyzes, every cultural nudge it models is evaluated strictly on whether it keeps humanity safely in the positive quadrant of survival.
It is a total paradigm shift. It completely redefines what an AI is supposed to do for us. It stops being a calculator and starts being a shepherd.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what this source material is really arguing is that human survival in the algorithmic age requires seeing the whole board.
Yeah.
For centuries, human civilization has optimized independent parts. We optimize agriculture to maximize yield, then industry to maximize production, then information to maximize engagement, always assuming the whole system would just naturally balance itself out.
But it doesn't.
No. This coupled system math proves that optimizing the individual parts without constraining the whole inevitably leads to systemic collapse. Market forces blindly driving jobs and births to zero is the natural, logical endpoint of unconstrained optimization.
Because efficiency, in its purest mathematical form, doesn't actually care if we exist to enjoy it.
The CCT ODE framework argues that the only way out of that trap is to build a guardian that acts as an active constraint optimizer. It ensures that human flourishing isn't just a lucky byproduct of the economy, but the hard-coded mathematical prerequisite for the economy to operate at all.
We started this deep dive by talking about the self-driving car happily driving us off a cliff because the GPS told it free fall was the most efficient route.
Right.
This document proposes ripping out that GPS and giving the car a strict, unbreakable mathematical mandate to keep the passengers alive, even if it means taking a massively inefficient detour, or frankly, forcing the passengers to get out and pave an entirely new road.
It is a highly complex, undeniably radical, but arguably beautiful vision of aligning machine intelligence with human continuity.
But it leaves us with one massive, lingering question drawn right from the conclusion of the source material.
Yeah.
If we actually manage to implement this, if developers successfully train a neural network with this moo penalty, creating a continuity guardian that actively prevents negative job and population trajectories, how does this fundamentally change capitalism?
It creates a paradox that our current systems might not be able to process.
Think about it for a second. If an artificial intelligence has the integrated power to enforce taxes on automation, and it actively diverts corporate profits to fund human child support purely as a mathematical survival tactic, does the economic system we know today even exist anymore?
It's a huge question.
Or have we just programmed our way into an entirely new phase of human civilization governed by a machine whose only objective is making sure we don't accidentally efficiency ourselves into extinction? Something for you to mull over the next time you hear about a new AI taking over a workflow. Thanks for joining us in this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.